This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I'm tuning down the Ribbon Highway in Denver, Colorado, running to a book signing. Sorry, this show got posted a little late for a frantic schedule last week since Thanksgiving. It's been a frantic schedule right up to 5 p.m. Christmas Eve, where I finish up in Gateway, Big Gateway, Barnesville, Salt Lake City. Anyway, I'm meeting lots of people, kind of getting the pulse of things out there, you know. Folks are very unhappy with what's going on. Very unhappy with what's going on. And I don't blame them whatsoever. Let's talk about Ferguson. And let's talk about the incident with that poor guy in New York with the chokehold. You know, I have to tell you, after watching the video of the whole incident in New York, I just don't see why that cop didn't get indicted. I mean, once again, I don't think his intentions were malevolent, but it was way more force than was necessary. And I'll tell you, I'm a pretty tough hombre, but listening to that poor guy when he was down on the ground, say repeatedly and obviously panicked and gasping for air, "I can't breathe." And those five cops sitting on his back, pushing his head into the pavement, the chokehold still on him. I'm sorry, you know, that goes above and beyond the pale. It is outrageous. And one thing I want you to think about, you know, next time it could be you. I really think that was not a good decision by the grand jury. If they had no other evidence whatsoever other than that tape, there was something that they could have returned. And I'm a fan of the police as long as they're forced to exercise with proper restraint and judicial. But there was something really wrong with that whole situation. And there's something really wrong when somebody's on the ground, obviously immobilized. Well, five people on top of him, he's not going anywhere, and repeatedly saying he can't breathe. It was really kind of heart-wrenching. Now, on the other hand, we have Ferguson, whole different deal. I think that cop was absolutely justified in everything he did. From the sounds of it, obviously none of us were sitting in the grand jury room. He tried to make a legitimate arrest. He tried to get that kid to slow down, not charge, relax. I mean, he was attacked in his car for sure. The forensic evidence seems to indicate that, you know, he had to shoot his way out of the car to get the kid off him, and that's a whole different program. But really what's important, I mean, there's many important things about this. Lost human life, what is and what is not, reasonable use of force, even deadly force by police in certain situations, what cops need to do if a suspect obviously is getting up or is in physical distress, like the gentleman in New York. There's a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that Obama, Holder, the Democrats, Al Sharpton, that whole crowd are just loving this. They couldn't care less about that poor kid that was shot at Ferguson. They don't give two hoots about the poor guy who died of asphyxiation in New York. They don't care. This is good for one thing. Number one, to line Al Sharpton's pockets and increase his power as an agitator and fomenter of unrest and a divisive personality. I mean, he lives on division. Obama operates his political machine based on division, and not just between races, I might add. This just happens to be the convenient crisis at hand, but between gender, between classes, between income levels. between nationality, between religion. I mean, this is what this guy does. He lied. He has lied through his teeth about everything he has ever told you, starting with the great speech, which kind of propelled him towards presidency at the Democratic National Convention 4 years prior to him running, where he talked about no red states, no blue states, just United States. It, you know, absolute BS. Right out of the Saul Alinsky playbook. Right out of Herman Goebbels' playbook. Say the big enough lie often and people will believe it. The whole thing is outrageous. And, you know, the other thing that they're delighting in is that this is getting everybody's minds off of ISIS and Iraq and the Israeli-Palestinian problem and Russia on the aggressive move. I have a bunch of articles posted about Russia that you ought to read under international. You know, their economy is falling apart. Putin is a smart, tough, and perhaps now getting a little bit desperate guy. He thinks NATO is weak. He despises and does not respect Obama. But this is a dangerous combination of events. Look for Putin to do something to try and rally national support as the ruble sinks against the dollar and Russia, shall we say, descends into a recession and starts having to dig into its reserves because oil prices are down. The Russian economy is an oil economy. This is not a good recipe for peace in Europe. Not at all. There's one other thing I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what is happening with the military. You know, I have to tell you, there's several articles that posted on the military. What's happening to the budget for the military? Benefits. These are promised benefits to our veterans. Absolutely outrageous. The VA, still not fixed. There is something so very wrong about the priorities of this country when the President of the United States, while he's fomenting race division and racial tension for his own political nest and the political nest of the Democratic, i.e., Progressive Party. There's something so very wrong about him. You know, the reports are out, this illegal alien, unconstitutional order of his, going to cost us $40 billion a year. He was trying to tell us that he had to act because Congress didn't. Absolute nonsense. I've talked about that in previous shows, back list to the archives. Obviously, Congress did not act in a lame duck session with like 20 days after the election, 20 working days until Christmas and the new Congress takes over. So that in itself is, so we say, a sleight of hand of speech. But more importantly, it now seems that he had geared up months before the Department of Homeland Security to hire 1,000 people, which they're advertising for, full-time positions, to process the paperwork. The green cards, the ID cards, all the nonsense. You know, the voter fraud cards. Let's be frank here. On these illegal aliens. And he sat up there in front of the camera, as he always does, looked us in the eye and said, it's not going to cost us anything. They don't get any benefits. I mean, listen to his speech. Now we find out, oh, yes, they are going to get benefits. They're being recruited to join and sign up with Obamacare, which comes right out of our pockets. Obamacare is subsidy from one class of people to another. Welfare, free education, I can go all the way down the list. 40 billion a year, study by the Heritage Institute. By the way, there's other studies out there which are even higher. So we're going to spend $40 billion a year on illegal aliens under an unconstitutional executive order and we're going to cut the budget of the military and the benefits that were promised to veterans long ago who have already served? Really? Now, if that doesn't tell you about the Democratic and Progressive Party, one and the same, progressive spelled communist, then I don't know what will. Never mind the fact that, you know, with ISIS on the move, Russia getting restless, China spending three times as much now as we do pro rata on their military, that we're cutting our military. Wow. There's many things here which just don't make sense unless what I said years ago, and that is Obama hates America. I have said this from the beginning. He wants to take America down a peg. He wants us to be just another seat at the table of nations, but I take that back. He wants us to not even sit at the table of nations other than in some kind of kumbaya consensus form. It is absolutely outrageous. It is treason to the highest degree. And in the meantime, and there's articles under economy and under family safety, by the way, our debt has now surpassed $18 trillion. I told you a year ago that under this president, when he left office, it would be at $20 trillion. We'll go up Cloward and Piven, orchestration of crisis, or Cloward and Piven. These are left-wing professors who are in pictures with Bill Clinton, with whom Obama has actually consulted, who say that the way to bring down a capitalist system, you don't need revolution, you don't need all that, you know, you just need to follow Saul Alinsky's rules and overburden the system with financial entitlement until it collapses. And from the rubble, you can build your new socialist utopia. Now, you tell me that this isn't going on. I mean, every place this guy can spend money, from $1.4 billion a year on the White House, you know, his little trips, fun, and parties, and whatever, his golf outings while people get beheaded in the Middle East, his campaign trips while our people die on a rooftop in Benghazi. Everything this guy does is designed not only to further a social and ideological end and to decrease America's power relative to all other nations and to transfer wealth from America to other countries and within America itself between classes, races, religions, you name it. It is done to spend money. This guy loves to spend your and my money and to rack up debt. Where we don't have enough money to pay for it, he borrows it. Which means, in the end, folks, we pay for it. I'm going to have more on this in the next week, but these are some thoughts for today. In the meantime, I hope your Christmas season is going absolutely terrific, and that you're shopping, that you're buying books, particularly my books. I must admit some bias. Particularly my books for Christmas presents. I'll tell you what, the book signs have been terrific. Absolutely delighted to meet readers and listeners to this show at all the book signings. Just great. I mean, I just really like that. Get your feedback on the books, politics, state of the world, state of mind. So come down and visit. You know, you can go to www.threadswestseries.com, and in the upper left, you'll see book signings. Click on that. That will give you my schedule. Please, come on down. Say hi. Even if you don't grab a book, but I'd like it if you did. And I'll tell you what, the folks who receive it, I think they'd really like it. Of course, I'm the author. I'm biased. But book signings have been terrific, and I want to thank you all for your support and tell you that you know, I love writing these books, Threads West series, you know, the story of us, beginning in 1854, brave men, independent women, of uncommon cultures, differing origins, competing ambitions, some light, some dark, how they weave together into the cloth of the country over five generations in the Rockies. It's a big story, story of America set in the West. And by the way, gals, it's a little bit more than 50% female readers. Guys and gals are both love these books. We got readers who are 14 and readers who are in the 90s. It's amazing, the cross-section of readers. And the women characters rock in these books. I guarantee you they rock. And so do the guys. It's really interesting, you know, everybody who reads this book gets something else out of it. The guys get the testosterone and the gals get the estrogen and, you know, everybody gets American values and the shaping of the spirit of America. A spirit, I might add, that it is ours, that we have been entrusted with, us Americans of today, that we have been entrusted with in preserving and protecting. So let's stand up and do it. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal talking to you from the road, bumping down the bumpy highway. Come see me at the book signings. Think about what we've talked about today and more coming your way next week on The Right Side Radio.